L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com. John and Ken Show. John Cobalt and Ken Champeau. It's KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, welcome everybody. Coming up this hour, another United States senator, when they're not too busy with the Supreme Court nomination process, has decided to put a hold on Eric Garcetti's nomination to be ambassador to India. This is Joni Ernst, a Republican from Iowa. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about this ridiculous, watered-down, phony internal investigation that was done on the whole Garcetti matter concerning a long-term key aide by the name of Rick Jacobs, who's been accused of sexually harassing staff members of Garcetti's. It's all coming up.
We're going to talk with Brad Garrett now. He is the crime and terrorism analyst for ABC News. And one of the fascinating things about this war between Russia and Ukraine is that Russia is so bogged down after a month when they were supposed to roll over Ukraine in 3 days. And it doesn't seem like they're going to make much ground movement anytime soon. So what's Putin going to do? Because he has to be extraordinarily angry over the outcome here. Let's get Brad on because the U.S. government is brainstorming all the possible scenarios. Brad, how are you?
I'm very good. Thank you.
What are the possibilities if this stalemate continues?
Well, I think the stalemate on the ground short term will continue. But the real issue is going to be how he will up his game, which could translate into more missile attacks that he can fire from ships and from outside of Ukraine, like in Russia, long-range missiles. He can go to biological, chemical, and God forbid, he could go to nuclear. And many of the Russian experts I listen to and follow think he's completely capable of going to nuclear.
And what kind of nuclear strikes?
Well, I think two possibilities, One would be what they call a tactical nuclear strike, which is a smaller nuclear bomb than let's say, ones that we might remember from World War II. But the other is that he could blow up a nuclear power plant, of which he controls at least two of them, and one of them is one of the biggest nuclear power plants, or is the biggest one in Europe.
And the biological weapons, what form would that likely take? Do we know what kind of...
It's really hard to say because there are so many different toxins or agents biologically you could use. I think most people tend to think that he would more than likely use a chemical weapon because he's used them in the past. He used them in Syria not that long ago. And so I don't know. But, you know, President Biden today made a comment saying that Putin would pay a price if he used chemical weapons, but he didn't say what that might be, because he's probably not sure what that might be, depending on how they were used and where they were used.
And what's the danger of nuclear, biological, or chemical clouds then drifting over other countries?
Well, I think it's a real possibility. I mean, if you're talking about using something biological, whatever you expose people to, you could then expose all sorts of other populations, depending on how contagious it is. I mean, you can come up with some real awful scenarios there. The reason why I think there'd be a hesitation with biological is that it could end up affecting his own people. But we'll see. I mean, that's not my expertise, but I read about it a fair amount. So I think that's the reality. Chemical, biological, maybe a longer shot. But then, of course, there's nuclear. As this deteriorates and he's not getting anywhere, I think you sort of have to predict that he will go as far as he physically can until somebody stops him. When I say stop him, or somebody try to remove him from office, I don't see that happening in the short term.
I mean, this is that important to him. There's no chance he would just withdraw.
No, because it's not part of his personality. He's a Bigfoot kind of guy, right? He's got a black belt in judo. He's got all sorts of, might makes right. He has said that several times in speeches, and he believes that anything he does is okay if he believes it helps Russia and the Russian people. Now, the three of us could argue at length, has he done anything that would help the Russian people based on sanctions and, the amount of money that they're going to lose, in the coming months, is just off the charts.
That's what I mean. It just seems he's completely delusional that he's become a madman now. I mean, there's one thing to have a calculated evil strategy, right, to take over your neighbor. But this stuff, right, that you're talking about, that the government officials are talking about, is just a guy who's gone completely unhinged and he's not in touch with reality anymore.
He's really sort of a textbook autocrat, because all of them, which is a person, obviously, that doesn't answer to anyone, that they all become unhinged at some point. Particularly, he's been in power 22 years. They become unhinged because they don't trust anybody, and then they believe that there's a higher calling that directs them, and the rest of us don't know what we're talking about. In this case, it would be possibly his intel or spy chief, generals in his military, so forth, because I'd be shocked if they haven't at least told him about what he was about to do and the pitfalls in doing it the way he has proposed in doing it. But I don't know that conversation happened, but I'd be shocked if it hadn't, or that they knew that they were stepping into real trouble based on the way he did this.
Do you think there'd be anybody in his chain of command, if he started ordering nuclear strikes, who would try to thwart the process?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, there is talk without confirmation that actually some of his higher-up military people have already left the country because they don't want to deal with what he's doing, which, if that's true, that's a big deal. So, yes, there might be people at some point saying, we're just not going to do that. Now, the problem here, again, is that if you look at how Putin has structured the military and the intelligence service and law enforcement, he basically has people from his intelligence service, people he worked with back when he was in the KGB, that will do anything for him. They keep track of people to make sure that there's not dissent going on. So if you were going to basically figure out a way or attempt to figure out a way to remove him from power or kill him, it might be difficult to do. Again, not impossible, but you'd have to get really the right people on your side, which would be a big step.
And we will do nothing drastic until he pulls the trigger first. There's no way to thread the needle and preempt him in some way.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess it would depend on what our intelligence is, and could we stop him from launching a nuke? Maybe not. I mean, I believe he's got what they call hypersonic nukes, which are, you know, five times the speed of light, which I don't know that we have anything that will stop them, to be quite honest. So you see what dilemma that creates. But again, you could easily start a global war based on what's going on in Ukraine if NATO slash us then step into it.
All right. Wow, this is about the scariest call we've ever had. Thanks, Brad, for coming on with us.
It's all very cheery, I know.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. No, we'll talk with you again as things progress. That's Brad Garrett. He's the crime and terrorism analyst for ABC News in Washington. Thanks, Brad.
Yeah, giving us his take on Vladimir Putin. And as you heard, he thinks Vladimir is in here for the long range of this, whatever that leads to. Yeah, I read another story that because Russia has dual-capable missiles, it could be even difficult to see whether or not they've launched, you know, a traditional missile bomb or they've launched something nuclear. It'd be tough to figure that out.
Yeah, they have a new kind of weapon that launches a decoy missile to try to trick our tracking into following the decoy, and then the real one does the damage. And then the hypersonic missile, that is fairly new, and we don't have one, and we don't have any way to stop that. Because that can zig and zag. They can control it. And it goes, what did he say, five times the speed of sound?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a big loss there.
We got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI. John and Ken Show. John Cobell and Ken Champeau, KFI. AM 640 Live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Tomorrow is the day that we bring the audience to you, the voice line calls. Happens during the 5 o'clock hour. If you want to leave a message, you can do it on the iHeartRadio app. We have a talkback feature. You go to KFI, the John and Ken section, and there's a little microphone you can use to leave your Moistline message. Or just call the old-fashioned voicemail, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. We just got done talking to a ABC News reporter. It's their terrorism analyst and specialist, Brad Garrett. And that was not confidence inspiring.
That was not uplifting.
The psychological analysis of Putin, it's like this is an alpha one.
Yeah.
He's not going to back down.
He may be unhinged. They're stalemate on the ground. Obviously, he's doing tremendous damage through the air, but he wants to capture the nation. Remember, the original idea here was to depose Zelensky, kill him, and install a puppet government, take over Kyiv, the capital, and control as much territory as he can. And he's done none of that. He's just done massive destruction in certain cities. And now the Ukrainians are going on the offensive. They're actually regaining some land, and they're pulverizing a lot of the Russian tanks, which seemed to be very ill-equipped for this battle.
Nice.
And they've just blown up a Russian naval warship out in the Black Sea. And we're giving them, Biden said today, another $1 billion, humanitarian aid, but other military aid as well. So the wind's blown in the wrong direction for him. And
so everybody's best guess is that he's going to, and I think the term I keep reading is, escalate to de-escalate. In other words, escalate the attack in some manner, and that's what we've been talking about. Biological, chemical, or even tactical nuclear weapons as a way to really get Ukraine to say, maybe we ought to give up because...
So the tactical weapons
it's kind of the same thing we did to Japan.
Yeah, the tactical weapons
would
be...
reason for dropping the bomb, to tell them this is it. You better give up because we're really coming now.
Yeah, these tactical weapons would be smaller nukes that he'd use in the battlefield. Maybe
yes.
To win that battle decisively.
Yes.
And then you've got the longer range, massive mushroom cloud, Hiroshima type bombs.
Well, let's turn to our cranky president who was out of the country. He made his way to Europe today. He was in Brussels, Belgium. He'll be in Poland, I think, tomorrow. This was an emergency NATO meeting to talk about more sanctions. You probably heard by now we've agreed to take in 100,000 Ukrainian refugees, but they also announced sanctions on over 400 Russian entities. That includes members of Russia's parliament. So what happened here is a CBS reporter by the name of Christina Ruffini. She was pressing him on whether or not this sanctioned stuff is enough of a deterrent. And here's what happened.
Sir, deterrence didn't work. What makes you think Vladimir Putin will alter course based on the action you've taken today?
Let's get something straight. You remember, if you covered me from the very beginning, I did not say that, in fact, the sanctions would deter him. Sanctions never deter. You keep talking about that. Sanctions never deter. The maintenance of sanctions, the increasing the pain, and the demonstration why I asked for this NATO meeting today is to be sure that after a month we will sustain what we're doing, not just next month, the following month, but for the remainder of this entire year. That's what will stop him.
You believe the action today will have an impact on making Russia change course in Ukraine?
That's not what I said. You're playing a game with me. I know. The answer is no. I think what happens is we have to demonstrate the purpose. The single most important thing is for us to stay unified and the world continue to focus on what a brute this guy is.
Blah, blah.
And all the innocent people's lives are being lost and ruined and what's going on. That's the important thing. But look, if you're Putin and you think that that Europe is going to crack in a month or 6 weeks or 2 months, why not? They can take anything for another month, but we have to demonstrate. The reason I asked for the meeting, we have to stay fully, totally, thoroughly united.
I thought, was there talk that Putin was going to cut off the oil and gas to Europe? He didn't do that, right?
No, he hasn't done that.
Because they do need the money for their military, I understand.
Yes, it's lots of billions of dollars.
Because Biden, the way he spoke there was to make sure we don't crack, and you know, my crack is part of Europe, which relies much more on Russian imports than we do.
Yeah, they're still... Now, Biden was saying unequivocally there that sanctions do not deter. However, apparently this philosophy did not reach Kamala Harris, because a few weeks ago she gave a conflicting message. We're going to play a compilation of Biden and Harris with opposing theories. Cut five.
Let's get something straight. You remember, if you covered me from the very beginning, I did not say that, in fact, the sanctions would deter him. Sanctions never deter. You keep talking about that. Sanctions never deter.
But if you believe Putin has made up his mind, what leverage do you really have? Why not put those sanctions in place now?
The purpose of the sanctions has always been and continues to be deterrence.
He just said sanctions never deter. She just said the purpose is to deter.
Yes.
I'm confused. Somebody please steer me in the right direction. I'm lost on stage here.
That's our team.
There they go. Well,
I feel good.
Sometimes you have to turn things around if it's not working the way.
Wow.
Now he's just saying, well, they don't deter, but you just got to keep them in place over the long haul. Just that's keep at it.
This is not working, but we have to stay together and keep doing what's not working. Okay.
All right. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to Yoga Pants, the mayor of L.A. His nomination to be the next ambassador to India has been held up now by two U.S. senators. And we'll also talk about this dopey internal report that, what do you know, not only cleared Garcetti, but cleared Rick Jacobs of sexual harassing behavior. A miracle.
Good report.
And very reliable.
Let's take the names of the people who compiled this report, because you should never...
Oh, they're there. Yeah.
Yeah, you should never believe anything they say publicly again. John and Ken, KFI. John and Ken Show, John Cobell and Ken Shampoo, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Well, you may have heard the last couple of weeks the continuing story that we may have another strike by the banana scanners. I'm sorry, that's grocery store workers.
They hate that name.
Talking to the vice president of merchandising for Ralph's after 4 o'clock to explain their side of the negotiations and what they're offering the workers that apparently is being refused. You might be a bit surprised. So listen in, coming up after 4 o'clock.
Yeah, you get to take sides.
A second United States Senator, Republican, by the name of Joni Ernst from Iowa, has placed a hold on Mayor Yoga Pants' nomination to be the next ambassador to India. And more is being made of this because apparently India is still importing Russian oil and has kind of taken a almost neutral position on the whole Russian invasion of Ukraine. So you'd think you'd want to have an ambassador there to discuss this complicated matter. The position, of course, is empty because they have not yet, and that would be the United States Senate, approved Garcetti's appointment. He got through a committee pretty easily late last year, but as we headed into March here, it was first a senator by the name of Chuck Grassley who said, I have concerns, and now it's this Iowa senator by the name of Joni Ernst. In fact, they are the two senators from Iowa, Grassley and Ernst.
What's funny is this is a core progressive woke issue.
It is. It is.
Sexual harassment at work.
This is a whole Me Too thing.
This is a whole Me Too thing. And if this was a Republican president and a Republican nominee, you know all the Democrats.
This would be a much bigger story.
Everybody in the media would be beating the crap out of Garcetti.
They would love to harpoon this nomination. And this is a guy. And by the way, in a nutshell, in case you missed it, it's dealing with a former top aide of his by the name of Rick Jacobs, who's being accused by numerous, mostly former Garcetti staffers, of sexual harassment, things like forced kissing, groping, constantly ridiculous, over-the-line comments to them. It started with a former bodyguard of Garcetti's, an LAPD officer by the name of Matthew Garza, who actually filed the lawsuit that kicked all this off. Then other people came forward, and Garcetti has said, under oath, he never saw nor had any knowledge of this sexual harassment that's being put out there.
Well, a number of other staffers by name are saying that they witnessed Jacobs doing this stuff and they heard Garcetti talking about it and they knew that Garcetti knew. They're putting their names out there. One of the most famous is Naomi Seligman, who used to be a spokesperson for Garcetti, and she had a law firm put out a 31-page official complaint, which they sent to every law enforcement agency, federally, state, local, and that report made it to the Senate committee.
Yes, Grassley, that got his attention as an organization, a whistleblower organization that's been representing Seligman to make the case, and it was enough for Grassley to put his hand up and say, all right, I want to put a hold on this. We can take a closer look. Now he's joined by Joni Ernst. Grassley, of course, is a powerful member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. And now, here's the thing. What Grassley wanted to do next is to take a look at a report, an investigation that was done on the allegations against Rick Jacobs and the knowledge by the mayor. Well, this confidential city commission report was sent to the Senate panel, and apparently it found no evidence that either Rick Jacobs acted inappropriately or that Garcetti witnessed anything inappropriate.
So
it basically almost 100% cleared both of them. Do you believe that?
It changed the dynamic. Not just claiming that Garcetti didn't know. Now the report
Jacobs
says
Jacobs didn't do what he's accused of doing.
It never happened. And This is a female investigator named Leslie Ellis.
Ellis, yeah.
Said that Officer Garza was not subjected to inappropriate behavior.
She knows this because what? Jacobs told her so? What kind of an investigation was this?
Garza's claims were not credible. The findings in this report were supported by evidence that Garza's account generally lacked credibility, where the other witnesses, including Mayor Garcetti, provided credible accounts. Garcetti provided credible accounts. I don't think I've ever seen that line before.
No. No. This is basically the inner workings of Putin's government here. that all of his stooges and his state-controlled media just run with the party line.
Who's this Leslie Ellis? She must have had a big can of whitewash paint, boy.
Oh, that's, man.
Grassley says they have multiple whistleblowers strongly suggesting that this investigation may be incomplete at best.
No.
That's a polite way of saying it's a load of horse crap.
Right.
Wow.
It's hard to believe. The report includes summaries of interviews with LAPD officers, including an officer by the name of Bert Strogatz, who worked twice a week on the security detail with Garza. He told Ellis he never saw Jacobs inappropriately touch others. Well, Jacobs did pull the Rogats in for a firm hug, the hug was deemed appropriate.
We rule the hug appropriate.
Wow.
Yeah, he saw nothing. He didn't hear anything. What's funny is, I mean, there's more and more.
Apparently, he gave a lot of appropriate hugs. And he would occasionally touch people's arms or shoulders, but none of this rose to the level of inappropriateness. And the forced kissing, I guess, was not credible either. That's what several others have been saying.
It's funny because just the other day...
Now, some of the people we've talked about were not interviewed, including that former Garcetti aide, Anna Barr, who came up the other day.
Right, because they found texts of hers that sexual harassment of people by Jacobs was something, quote, everyone talked about in the mayor's office. So she's saying everyone talked about it. Naomi Seligman went through 31 pages of details of what's going on. But right. Somehow Garcetti denying it is the most credible story out there.
It's kind of expected that whenever you commission an internal report, it's not to be trusted. And I don't know where they found this woman, Ellis, to do this. I looked her up the other day. She's involved in some sort of investigatory law. But
yeah, it's worthless. It's propaganda. It's what they do. This is what a guy like Garcetti does. He acts all pious and says, oh, no, I would never condone such a thing. If I had known about it, I would have taken action immediately. He says that in that smug little voice of his.
Matthew Garza's
never.
Attorney is Greg Smith, who said this report left out a lot of information that would have bolstered Garza's claims.
Yeah.
Now, tomorrow, this hour at 3:05, we'll be joined by Greg Smith.
Oh.
So we're going to be able to talk to him directly about this story, in particular this fake, it looks to be, 310 pages?
This makes him look even more guilty now.
It's way too suspicious.
You put out a fake 300-page report that says nothing happened? That like, Jacobs never did anything?
No.
Not only... you think Garcetti would be smart enough to just try to protect himself and say, look, I didn't know what was going on. But he actually goes as far as saying Jacobs never did anything when there's already a string of people, men and women by name, going public, under oath, testifying...
Apparently, Jacobs testified in a deposition, I may have hugged Garza, I may have made some sexual jokes, but it never rose to the level of harassment. You see how they're trying to cut this?
Sure. I didn't get aroused. All right, more coming up. John and Ken Show, KFI. John and Ken Show, John Cobell and Ken Ciampo, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, we'll be joined with the Vice President of Merchandising for Ralph's. After the news at 4 o'clock, they offered us someone to talk about the grocery labor negotiations and what they've been offering the grocery store workers, because you probably know by now the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, representing the grocery workers, is calling for a strike, which could happen. So we'll get into that coming up after the news.
Biden... said today, expect a real food shortage around the world. Real food shortages.
We already had that with the supply chain problems and inflation. And
now it's going to be growing the food, planting and harvesting.
Right.
Because Ukraine and Russia are major producers of wheat.
Yeah, apparently, and a lot of the stuff they feed the livestock, too, comes from those countries.
Yeah.
So that could affect your meat production. They got nothing to feed your... Your steer,
that's going to
be okay.
That's what's going to hurt the beef, the cheese, and the bun. All three components.
The bun.
Yep.
All right, time for a visit to school boards. We'll start with Georgia. We have some audio. Apparently, a parent was complaining about sexually explicit content from a book that's available to high school students in the district. She starts reading a passage from the book, trying to make the point to the school board that it's not appropriate for any child to hear. And she gets cut off by a school board member. This is Cherokee County, Georgia. Let's listen.
Here's an excerpt, and I'm going to really try to be careful so I don't get kicked out. Excited now, he pushed into her. As she squeezed her eyes in tightly as she could, her tongue circled her lips. He pushed harder, his breath heavy and labored. She scratched his back, and he cried out. She bit his ear and pulled his hair. There's a lot more to it. It's 50 Shades of Grey and CCSD. Step 9, then they give the verdict and pull all those copies that we bought back on the shelves of more schools.
Excuse me.
Yes.
We have children at home.
I know.
It's live streaming, and it's really not appropriate.
Don't you find the irony in that? You're exactly saying exactly what I'm telling you. You're giving it to our children. I would never give this to my children.
All right. The speaker is out of order.
Thank you.
Out of order.
I think we have gotten the gist of your information that you wanted to share with us this evening.
So you're cutting me off?
So you have the last 30 seconds.
That's
our attorney has said out
That's
of order.
That's not right. I suggest that nobody submits any more books. It's not our job. It's your job to be getting these books. All this happened under your watch. Maybe you've spent more time reading these books instead of calculating the statistical demographics of those submitting the books. We wouldn't be grooming our children. You're saying that we're embarrassing you. You're embarrassing us and our kids. It's not okay. You are supposed to be giving them a safe space in school. These books, if I can't email them to you and I can't say them, they shouldn't be in the
schools. Your time is up, Ms. Brown.
You know that.
The book is Homegoing by Yaa Gyasi, described as an extraordinary novel that illuminates slavery's troubled legacy, both for those who were taken and those who stayed.
Yeah, and looks like they have some steamy sex scenes in it.
Was that a rape, you think, or was that just a sexual encounter?
I don't know the book, so I don't know. But it's just funny. Parent is trying to make a point. It's like you shouldn't be having kids read this book, and they freak out and go, "Well, you can't say that out loud. There's kids listening."
Well, the school district made the distinction that the book's only available to high school kids, but there could be younger kids watching the live stream of the school board meeting who are hearing the passage being read. That's how they explain their stance there at the sexually charged passage.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the eternal debate, is that at what age do you allow any of this stuff? You know what's interesting? You know the big fight in Florida over the new law that there's going to be no sex education third grade and under, which the activists have claimed it's don't say gay, right? It's aimed at gay people. And the word gay isn't in the law at all. It's all sex education. Turns out that 52% of Democratic primary voters agree with the law. Like, not only...
Florida, you
in
mean?
In Florida, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, sure. Democrat. Because most parents don't want their kids getting sex education in school when they're 8 years or younger. That's a very widespread.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't want that. And I don't know of a single parent who was talking about this stuff to their kid when they were 8 years old.
Differentiate though between sex and then just talking about the fact that there are gay people who have rights to exist, you see. That's why I couldn't delineate in that debate.
You know what? That stuff doesn't come up in
first, second,
and third
grade. I certainly don't want a teacher
in
second grade talking about, you know, sexual activities between any persons. But
right,
the fact that people exist in society and you can't ignore them, you can't leave that out of the classroom.
The bill just talked about sexual education.
How broad that was. And I have not read the bill. Maybe I'll go do that. All right, coming up next, her name is Kendra Doyle. She's going to be joining us. She's the vice president of merchandising for Ralph's. They offered her to talk about their negotiations with the grocery store union representatives. As you probably heard, there could be another strike at the local grocery stores. Coming up next.
John and Ken Show. Deborah Mark has the news. KFI AM 640. Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
This week at Safeway, enjoy big savings with the BOGO sale, where select items throughout the store are buy one, get one free. With this week's BOGO sale, get select meats like Signature Farms 90% lean ground beef or boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free. Plus, select fresh produce items like 1 pound containers of sweet strawberries or containers of blueberries or buy one, get one free. Safeway, come in and explore and see what other deals you can find.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.